Hello, hello, and welcome back to part two of the Summer of Announcements. We hope you're all feeling fine and dandy. Today we'll be polishing off the newly announced sci-fi horror titles, as well as some weird and wonderful entries, and another trip to a galaxy far, far away. Hold on to your headphones. Here comes the next episode of Newsreel.
Hello, 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 you lovely people. We are back again with part two of our Summer of Gaming. This time we're going to tackle a few of the hits we didn't manage to get to last time. I'm quite excited for this one because there's some interesting titles to discuss, Zach.
Yeah, we had a long list to get through, so hopefully we can tick all of those off today.
I mean, even now, right, I feel like we may fail to cover just about everything that was shown, but I feel like we've hit the high notes here, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously, you probably need a couple of maybe three or four episodes to cover everything, right?
So I mean, yeah, there has been that many announcements. There's been so many over this past month and a bit. It's been absolutely insanity. Speaking of summer, though, quick little shout out as we record this. Today is the first day of the Steam summer sale.
Hey, very nice.
So if you want to pick up yourself some higher quality games, go to Steam because
get some bargains.
If you know Steam, right, there's some fucking banging deals this time.
Yeah, you pick up about 14 games for about £3.
Literally, some of the standouts I've seen so far: Sniper Elite 4 for £3.
Oh wow!
Devil May Cry 5 plus the Virgil DLC for £7. Pretty decent. And the Mafia trilogy for £13. Quite a good game series, actually, Mafia.
Do you know, that's a game series I've never actually played, but heard good things about it, especially the remake that he did with the first one a little while ago.
I think that's the one, actually. I don't know if it's a trilogy or just the first one that's on sale. Oh, no, sorry. So the trilogy is £22. The remake of the first one is £13. So picking up the trilogy wouldn't actually be a bad idea, to be fair.
Yeah, a lot of people were drawing comparisons when they did the Grand Theft Auto remasters.
Yeah,
a lot of people were drawing comparisons between that and the Mafia remaster, and they were like, "Wow, you know, the quality was way, way better on the Mafia one."
Yeah, I feel like the Mafia one is like amazing. The detail is so good, isn't it?
They obviously went to a lot of effort to reanimate cutscenes and update a lot of it, you know, bring it like current gen graphics.
I played the third one a while ago, yeah, and I quite enjoyed it, actually. It was really fun.
Yeah.
It was very different to the other Mafia games. I should preface that I've not actually played the remake of the first one, but I have played the third one and the first one way back in the day. And yeah, very different games, but enjoyable nonetheless.
I will also, just while we're on the subject of new releases and whatnot as well, and part of the Steam sale, the Starship Troopers Terran Command has also just recently released as well. So
it did indeed, right? It launched a few days ago, didn't it?
That's right, yeah. So I picked up a copy of that. It's a good game. It's really, really good.
I was going to say, thought so far, my man, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I really like it. It's got some really, really cool mechanics in it, like the line of fire and stuff like that. So if you've got squads stood behind another squad, they won't shoot through them.
No.
So you've got to position your men strategically. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have men kind of out of the fight, and
that's pretty good.
Front ranks killed and so on and so forth.
And you don't want that, mate.
No. And they've got like marauders in there. You can set up like the turrets, you know, like the ones in the tower and in the film. It's just really, really good, to be honest. Mm. It kind of reminds me quite a lot of the Command and Conquer 3.
Yeah.
That kind of era of Command and Conquer.
I don't know too much about it, but from what I've heard, is there's only really a campaign at the moment, isn't there? There's nothing else kind of to it.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of like challenges that you can do, but there's literally no co-op or multiplayer in there at all. There's nothing like that.
Do you kind of see that maybe coming in the future, do you think?
I don't know, to be honest. I kind of get the impression that this is going to be kind of a one and done thing. They've kind of made the game. They'll do a few like bug patches and so, but you know, no pun intended for the bugs, right? But yeah, they'll do some bug patches, and I think they'll probably, in all likelihood, just move on.
I mean, the only good bug is a dead bug, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I love that film so much.
It's probably the best film of all time. And what, I don't what, fight what anybody the, says otherwise.
Primo films, mate.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, within for instance, if we were going to be picking, like, I don't know, maybe like top 10 of all time, Starship Troopers would probably be up there for me.
Oh yeah,
I know the acting's a bit wooden, but like the film is just great.
Acting is wooden, but I have a lot of good memories of that film. You know, I think that's
100%. Yeah,
it's the same as the Street Fighter film and the Mortal Kombat film, right? Like they're cheese, they're super cheese, yeah. But like. Yeah. I don't know, they bring back good memories, you know?
I wouldn't put Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat up in my top 10, though.
I would, but for humorous reasons, you know?
Yeah, like, you'd do it for the memes. Like, Starship Troopers, yeah. I like, unironically.
Oh, yeah,
I love the film. I don't know whether I could say the same, you know?
But I know Starship Troopers, right, has that cheesy acting, right?
Yeah, it's got Jake Busey in it, so like,
exactly.
That's all you need to know, dude.
but that's quite good, though, to be fair. I'm glad it's come out. It seems to be received decently. I mean, who knows? Perhaps, you know, perhaps they'll take what they've learned from this one. Maybe they'll do DLC for this. Maybe they'll work on another one. I don't know.
Like, I would be all over co-op or like a co-op survival mode, or if they actually wanted to do like multiplayer, so we could do comp stomps and stuff like that. Like,
I was going to say, would you have like a bug, playable bugs? Like, would you like to play the bugs?
Yeah. I don't think that it would be obviously I'm not a game developer, so I don't know how difficult that would be, right? But there are, I think there's definitely room for that. And I think people would like to play as the bugs, right? That would be pretty fun.
There is different bugs, isn't there, obviously? Like, I know.
Yeah, it's not just all, obviously the warrior bugs.
The warrior bugs
are just one type. So you've got, there's spitter bugs as well. There's like, you know, obviously you've got the big tankers as well. The plasma bugs. And there's dozens of different, including some new ones that I've not seen before. So
new bugs.
Yeah, so the spitting ones, I've never seen those ones before. So that they were kind of cool.
Life finds a way.
Yeah. So
anyway,
on to the new releases.
Simply on to actually the news. But Steam Sellers up. So go on there, find some bargains. Guarantee you love them.
Yeah.
What are we going to start with, my man?
First off, on the agenda. I think we should kind of polish off the rest of our sci-fi horror.
I'm game.
Our kind of last episode was almost exclusively sci-fi horror, except for the little bit of Warhammer that we had at the start, right?
Literally.
So I think routine should be our first step.
So routine, we had a little chat about this last week, didn't we? We discussed it a little bit.
Kind of off the record. We were off the record. Chat about it, yeah.
And it looks very interesting. The trailer looks cool. Big, obviously, it's kind of survival sci-fi, retro sci-fi vibes. Rather interestingly, I learned about this game is that it was actually shown off like over a decade ago, originally.
Really?
And it kind of went dark. It wasn't really talked about at all. And it sort of resurfaced at the Summer Games Fest just out of nowhere, basically, with this new trailer.
Amazing.
Incredible, yeah. The game itself appears to be like an indie-led development, which would obviously explain why it's kind of, you know, why it was under wraps for so long.
Yeah, I saw the icons for Lunar Software and Raw Fury. I assumed that that was the devs, joint devs, or dev and publisher.
Yeah, I think Raw Fury is the publisher of the game.
Yeah,
with Lunar being the actual devs of the game. Raw Fury, the publisher. It's interesting that it was shown off so long ago, really, and now it's come back in. You know, I think they've obviously done quite a lot to it. I imagine it's probably been remade, potentially from the ground up several times, really, to kind of get their vision, you know, perfect.
And also to keep up to date with, obviously, technology, right? Because things would have moved on quite away from 2012 to now.
I mean, of course, right? Like, the technology is always going ahead, right? Always moving forward. I'm not sure what this is using. It's very, very, it seems like a very new engine there, because lighting looks fantastic in it.
I that was one thing I was going to say, actually, with regards to, you get kind of like a little bit of cinematic sections, and then there's actual like in engine footage as well, right?
Yeah.
And it just looks like the photorealism that you're getting in games nowadays, I can't get over how realistic things look.
I mean, remember that UE5 thing I sent you about the horror, the train platform?
I'm blown away with the level of like realism we can get from graphics these days.
I mean as a man that, you know, follows it quite a lot, follows the industry quite a lot and the trends of the industry, I mean, that train station one blew me away, man. Blew me completely away. I was shook when I saw that. I didn't believe it was real at first. I was like, holy shit, this is actually crazy. Like, this looks unreal. pardon the pun.
Yeah, yeah, mate, honestly, right? And the whole time I'm watching the trailer as well, I'm just thinking Alien Isolation. Like, it's bleeding it, honestly, right?
With the whole... I think it also, they're kind of leaning in just into that alien chic anyway, right? You know, having the 80s kind of inspired technology.
Yeah, that's definitely like what they're going for there. You know, even the way that the video is presented, it's got that kind of like film grain, like an 80s VHS.
Because that's something obviously about the Alien film cemented for such a long time, wasn't it? That unique style of future, but, you know, past ton of technology, right? Like past to us now, but their vision of the future was like having those kind of CRT monitors still, right? You know?
Yeah,
having those kind of clunky keyboards and...
It's not even just in the environment, but it's also in the equipment as well. Like you see, there's a section where the character's holding like a pistol. It's like a laser pistol or something.
The pistol's chunky, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, and it's all blocky and squared, like that kind of vision of the future was back then.
I think what's interesting about that trailer, though, is it was saying about the kind of old tech, yeah, but the enemies or potentially the creatures in this game, they look more high-tech, don't they, than the world they're in?
Yeah, they look out of place, don't they? They're kind of like quite twitchy and glitchy. You get the impression that they're almost like, I mean, this is just total off the cuff speculation.
Of course,
if they're like, you know, maybe like interdimensional or something like that, so they're not actually intended to be in that universe.
Yeah, they don't look like they belong in the universe the game is set in, really, which is, I think it's quite interesting because it, you know, develops that kind of talking point, right? I quite like the look of them, though. I think they're a little bit creepy. They're sort of like, how to describe them? They're sort of like big kind of androidy robot type things, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that they quite heavily resemble like mannequins as well, in the sense that they've got that kind of like... They have like the like their limbs and stuff are kind of like jointed. You know, a little bit like those little wooden statuettes that you can get for your desk.
Mannequins.
They kind of remind me a lot of that. And then you've got like those kind of sharp, jagged teeth, and they're like separations and seams in the head. Like the faceplate can come off and stuff like that. So. Almost leaning in a little bit to that kind of like, you know, like with the Five Nights at Freddy's animatronics kind of
I wanted to push towards Five Nights at Freddy's with this as well, to be honest, when I saw it, because they do have obviously a very kind of, you know, metal frame exposed, that kind of animatronic look to them, don't they?
Like the endoskeletons, yeah.
Yeah, they look sort of like the animatronics in Five Nights at Freddy's that have the, you know, the top shell missing.
Yeah.
With all like the innards and all that kind of stuff exposed, but yeah, like
there's a lot of suggestion for the setting where the game's actually set as well.
Yeah,
a lot of flashing images about like lab complexes. There's a fish hooked up to like electronics and it's like flipping about. So. But my kind of impression of it is that you're on a lab complex somewhere, and you also get a shot of a space station like orbiting a planet as well.
Yeah, so, I was thinking like, I don't know, some Mars kind of deal or something like that, you know?
Yeah, so again, kind of leaning again into that Alien Isolation thing where you've got Sevastopol Station. It's almost almost looking like they're trying to lean into that, but this one could very well be, this could be like a scientific research lab suspended in space on a station. Mm. So that's kind of like my impression of the kind of the setting.
Have you ever played Soma at all? Do you know about Soma?
I've seen some gameplay for that. I've not played it myself.
Yeah, so I've actually not played Soma either. Rather, regrettably, actually, I have to admit I've never played Soma. But I've heard some very, very good things about Soma. It's been on my list of you know, to play for ages. And a lot of people in like the comments of it are also kind of saying that this is very, very Soma-esque.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see what they mean there, definitely, with that.
Yeah,
I think my favorite little piece of the trailer is actually nothing to do with the robots or anything. I really like the shot where the camera is moving down that dimly lit hallway, and right at the end, you've got the kind of the light shining through from what looks like a waiting room.
Yeah,
and you've got like the really ugly looking like green bucket chairs, the kind of things that you'd expect.
Plastic ones, yeah.
Yeah, like the really, really nasty quality ones that would be like on a bus back in the 70s.
Yeah, and or like an old fast food restaurant chairs, you know?
Yeah, yeah, very much like that. And like with the like the wooden walls. And then it kind of like it cuts, so there's this little jump cut, and it like goes from things looking kind of in disrepair and then to a completely like decayed state where everything's covered in like black mold and the lights are gone out and stuff. I really liked that part. That was a really good bit of the trailer. And
like I said last time, right, you know, us Survivor Horror fans, yeah, we're eating good. We're going to be eating very, very good, you know what I mean, for the foreseeable time. Because, Christ, you know, coupled with all the other games we spoke about last time, yeah, it's off the chain, Survivor Horror at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, definitely. there's no release date as of yet as well. So I'm guessing they just don't want to tempt fate, especially now that I know that you've obviously you just mentioned there about it being announced over 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of popping up now. I'm almost wondering whether they want to play it by ear.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting, to be fair, why it's kind of been in the dark for so long, really. Like, I mean, who knows? Indie development is a very complex beast, right? And there's a lot of cogs at work with the whole indie side of kind of video games and the video game industry. But, I mean, I, for one, am interested. You know, colour me interested in this.
Yeah. It definitely looks like it'll be one to keep an eye on.
100%.
And, you know, like in indie games, I think the indie game scene, I think we said this in the last episode, but it's been quite quiet for a while. You've had a couple of things pop up here and there, but on the overall scene has been very quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, indie games, it's weird, right? Because there's always a lot of indie games out there that are getting made and getting published and whatnot. I mean, we're going to cover Devolver a little bit later on in the episode. And I fucking love Devolver because they are sort of like, I feel like they are the closest to being like rock stars in the games industry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the guys at Devolver, the guys and gals at Devolver, they do such a good job at publishing and promoting the most obscure, weird, but such like highly playable indie titles I've ever had in my life. I've ever, you know, played in my life.
Yeah. I mean, Loop Hero was kind of like that. Yeah. That's my most recent Devolver title that I picked up.
Loop Hero's fantastic.
Oh man, I loved every moment.
I have never once, and I will say this, I'll go on record and say this, hand on my heart, I've never once played a bad published game by Devolver, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I've never played a bad published game by them. Every game I've ever played from Devolver has been fantastic. It's been so good. It started with Hotline Miami way back in the day. That's the first kind of game that introduced me to Devolver. Yeah. And I've played or got most of their indie kind of published games since then.
I'll be honest, I still need to get around to playing Hotline Miami.
Oh, it's a classic, man. It's a classic. Yeah. It's probably one of the best indie games I think I've played in my time. If not the best, you know, indie game I played in my time. It's kind of opened my eyes to like the world of indie games, really.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty tall bar as well, because I mean we've played some pretty good games in our time.
Yeah. I mean it's hard, don't get me wrong, it's fucking punishing. Like that game is hella frustrating. But it's also, you know, it's got such a banging soundtrack and such kind of interesting gameplay loop, you know, even though you die like super quick in that game, like one hit is a kill on you. It's very quick to restart and you're back in the action again. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's very quick to go back in, boom, you're back in again. You know,
you haven't got to wait 40 seconds for a loading screen.
You've got like no loading screens. Like it's like a little rewind basically and boom, you're back in the game. It's very, very quick. And failure is kind of the whole point of the game, really. Like you approach the situation, you die, you learn, you go back, you do it again. You know,
yeah, there's a lot of games like that these days. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you know, it's got almost like a roguelike structure, but it's not a roguelike. It is actually kind of a linear game that has a story and stuff.
Yeah,
but it does follow that kind of die, learn, conquer kind of pattern.
Yeah.
But yes, Return. It looks fantastic. Routine looks amazing. Yeah, it's on my list for sure, man.
Yeah, excellent. So carrying on with our kind of horror-esque games, I'd like to touch a little bit now on Scorn, if we can.
Oh, man.
This one's a wild one. So this one is created by Ebb Software. Should be releasing on the 21st of October this year.
So a spooky Halloween title for y'all.
Yeah, very much so. This one's a very, like, where to begin with this?
I don't know, honestly. Like, I feel like I want to put a disclaimer if anyone wants to go and watch the trailer for Scorn. Because it's fucking weird. if I could be very direct and blunt, it's a strange one, right? It's a very strange one.
Yeah, it's one that you're probably going to have to watch a couple of times just to understand what you've actually seen.
There's a lot going on under the hood here, really. And I feel like we're not really going to get an answer until it comes out, you know?
No. And I think you'll play the game in its entirety, and you'll still sit there at the end and go, "What the fuck did I just see?"
They are going to definitely, I think, play their cards quite close to the chest with this game.
Yeah,
and it's a game that I've been following for a little bit, kind of low key. I heard about it a long, long time ago, and since then it's kind of gone through a lot of different revisions. I think at one point it almost looked like it was going to come out again, and then they sort of had a deal with like Microsoft, and then I don't know if they even have the Microsoft deal anymore, because I don't really see any Microsoft kind of stuff in their promotion when they were showing the trailer off. So I'm not sure what's happened that in that regard, but I remember seeing the game a long time ago, and it was very kind of hazy if it was, you know, going to come out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm very pleased we're getting like a trailer and a release date, because yeah, this game is looking mad.
Yeah, I mean, leaning heavily into the kind of the H.R. Giger kind of works. You got lots of biomechanical structures and kind of coupled with apocalyptic dustland settings.
Yeah, it's just very desolate, very creepy. Like you said, it's very H.R. Giger. If you don't know who H.R. Giger is, for any listeners wondering who that is, he's a famous artist that is, you know, most famously credited for making the Xenomorph from the Alien franchise.
Yeah, he designed the Xenomorph and the egg. Mm.
And as well as a lot of other creepy fucking
from the ship as well, right? Mm. The actual internals of the ship were inspired by him as well.
Big old face huggers as well.
Yeah.
Mucho creepy. Mucho yeah, creepy. H.R. Giger was a scary man.
His work is, yeah, it's kind of this weird blend. There's a lot of like really like kind of sexual themes as well. Mm. There's a lot of there's a lot of emphasis on like the female form.
And a lot of emphasis on kind of the human form in general, right?
So like, yeah,
is known as an art style called biomechanical, is what it's known as.
Yeah.
Or biomechanical art, dark biomechanical art, dark art. It's very you know what I mean? Yeah. It makes you think quite a lot, you know. A lot of like you said, Zach, a lot of his artwork has very kind of winding forms and usually it's sort of the human form, but imagined with like machinery and bits and bobs, and it all very flows together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, because it's all like I imagine to some people they'd look at it and they'd find it a bit perverse and a little bit
weird. Yeah, I think it is. There is definitely that hint of sexual in it, isn't there?
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely. You know, and you can see that kind of bleeding in with this game as well, right? There's a lot of like random body parts and stuff coming out of the walls.
Yeah,
and there's like actual living machinery that has like arms and stuff coming out of it. It's a weird abomination of limbs and stuff, you know.
What kind of game it is as well, I'll be honest, I don't really know. it seems to be an FPS, doesn't it, of some kind?
Yeah, it's definitely played out in first person, and there is shooting in it. There are some kind of like weird. It almost looked a little bit like a what I can only describe as like a you know those like gas piston items that they use to euthanize cattle.
Yeah.
That's what the weapon that the character is using looks like. It looks like one of those, but like built out of like biomechanical mass.
So
when you shoot the enemies, it's not like a projectile, it's like there's almost like this appendage that kind of protrudes out the front of the gun and kind of like punches a hole in them.
The gun is like fleshy though, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's almost
the gun, the gun has like, it's kind of tentacle-esque.
It's weird.
it's mucho strange, I won't lie. Like it is a solid strange out of 10.
Yeah, but they're not selling it as a first-person shooter, because that's not what it's about. It's more about the environment, the atmosphere, the experience. Yeah, yeah.
You almost have this kind of piston-y first-person gun, right? It's where I'm going with all the kind of first-person shooter vibe, because it's definitely not, you know, first-person shooter, is it?
No. It's not your time splitters. It's not Call of Duty. It's nothing like that. This is a completely unique experience, and that's what we're gonna have to call. I'm not even sure if you can really call it a game. It's gonna be an experience.
I honestly don't really know how to kind of call this one at the moment. I'm quite interested in it only because it looks super fucking weird, and I vibe with that. with that weird shit.
I played a demo for a game called Lust from Beyond a little while ago, and that that claims to kind of draw a lot of influence as well from H.R. Geiger.
Yeah.
There's this like other world that you go to within the demo, and it is it's exactly, honestly, like it's like you're in the Xenomorph cave. It's it's wild.
I don't know if you know an artist called I always struggle to pronounce his name because he's Polish. It's like Zbigniew Bielański or something like that. It's okay. Super hard. I always, it's, you know, Polish name, right? But he, I think he's also quite a big influence on this game as well. Not so much the biomechanical part, right? That's very much Geiger, but he's sort of known as the nightmare artist.
Yeah,
and he does some proper weird stuff. So he does a lot of artwork, sort of based around kind of the horrors of war and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And it's all very kind of surreal and very dark, very macabre. Yeah, he's got a very, very unique art style. And I feel like I see a lot of him in this game as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Super, super creepy.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to be one to keep an eye out for. But, I mean, yeah, it's... I think it's going to appeal to a very niche audience. I don't think that this is a game that many mainstream gamers will...
No.
Will even detect, you know, pick up on their radar.
No, God, no. I've just sent you a tasty link, my mum, with some of his artwork. Have a little look at that. Feast your eyes upon the weirdness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Very weird, isn't it?
Lots of skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
Anyway,
so we'll move swiftly on to the next game because I feel like we've
Scorn. Scorn is
we possibly can describing Scorn.
Hard to describe, but I will say that I am a fan.
Yeah, I think it taps into a bit of a morbid curiosity. And we'll kind of figure that one out as we go along.
And I don't know, before we do move on, I don't know if we actually spoke about this, but the price is very affordable, actually. So you can see the price on Steam at the moment is retailing for £31.99 on release. They've got like a 10% discount at the moment if you want to pre-order. Obviously, it comes out in October, bit of a wait. But it's interesting to note the price that they put the game as. You know, they're not selling it for full in standard price, it's scooped back a bit, you know?
Yeah, and I think that will largely be down to the fact that it is, from what we know, a purely single-player experience.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
And I don't think that there'll be an incredible level of replayability to it.
Feel like it'll be a very linear, but very kind of intriguing, you know, intriguing game.
Yeah.
It's going to definitely make you think, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, there'll be. I reckon that you'll be asking yourself an awful lot of questions, like what on earth am I seeing here? What on earth is that thing?
I think it's going to be a good one for YouTube as well. I think it's going to do well with like the YouTube kind of Let's Players, the Twitch streamers as well. I think it's going to get a lot of attention on there because it's so weird and bizarre, right?
Yes, but particularly YouTubers that and streamers that kind of tap into the more horror related games.
I think it's definitely going to be interesting in that regard, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it will depend. It will depend entirely on how graphic it is and whether, you know, because there are all sorts of appendages and body parts flying around there. I suppose it depends how graphic the content gets. Right?
I suppose it depends on the level we go for, right?
Yeah, definitely. So next up on the agenda, we have Aliens: Dark Descent.
Mm.
So this one's a little bit of a weird one. I hadn't really heard anything about it up until now, which is what you'd expect, right? Because it's an announcement trailer. I realise how foolish that sounds, but this is not something I was expecting at all. It's a kind of a top-down isometric shooter set within the Aliens universe.
But not an RTS? Is it an RTS?
What it looks like.
I got kind of RTS vibes from it, but
you know. Have you ever played Alienation? Did you ever play that game back in the day?
I played one called Dead Nation, which was the same people, wasn't it?
Dead Nation. So I have a feeling it'll be very much one of those kind of like top down shooters, you know, where you kind of like you directionally shoot. So like you push up on the D pad and you'll shoot north, that kind of thing. That's what it kind of strikes me as. I don't know. It didn't really look like a strategy game per se.
No, but with RTS like controls, I imagine.
Yeah, potentially.
Drag units, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it looked a little bit more like Alienation to me. But I could be wrong, because realistically you had a large segment of like cinematic trailer, and then you had about 10 seconds at the end of gameplay.
I mean, actually, you know what? Yeah, maybe like a twin stick shooter type deal then, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah. There's a lot of games like that out there, but Alienation was the first one that kind of...
I do remember Alienation, yeah. Dead Nation.
This one is being developed by Focus Entertainment. They are the makers of A Plague Tale, which is a game that I am aware of, but I've never played.
And they have a second one coming out, I'm pretty sure, as well, actually.
Yes, I believe so.
Requiem or something like that, which also got showed off recently.
Yeah.
I never played the first one, but it got fairly good reviews. It's more of like a linear story game. And it's got a real big influence on Light, that game does, which is quite cool.
Yeah. From what I've seen, it looks very, very interesting. And again, it's another one of those ones that I just add to the list on GG and just hope I can get around to it at some point.
Oh, mate, my GG list at the moment, I'm not going to lie. And also, if you want to see our GG list, it's always pinned in the episode description, so do check them out. I've been through mine recently, and oh man, I've been slamming games on that list.
there's an awful lot around at the moment to get through, and it's just as the days go on, the list gets longer, and I just can't get through it. But that's a problem for another day. This Aliens Dark Descent game is scheduled for release sometime in 2023, so we don't have a specific time scale, but it'll be sometime next year. It's looking kind of interesting. So from the cinematic trailer, looking really, really high quality in terms of the actual, like the cinematics look really, really good, very clean, gets your hype up. It looks like they're going to be adding some additional enemies in there as well, so it's not just going to be the xenomorphs that you'll be fighting. It looks like there's some form of like humanoid enemy that have been like augmented, you know, again, very much kind of like biomechanical, where they look like they have been augmented with some sort of kind of foreign technology, some kind of alien technology. And the xenomorphs in the trailer didn't seem to be attacking those, so they may very well be in cahoots as well.
Interesting development.
You don't really have a lot to go on, really, other than kind of that little bit of cinematic that you get where there's he's a sergeant, a soldier, and he's kind of telling his story, what happened to him when he went to wherever it was that he went to. And you get to see his squad get systematically picked apart by the xenomorphs and whatever these other humanoid creatures are. It's very cryptic at the moment. But one thing that did make me chuckle, so obviously I mentioned you get the maybe like 10 seconds of gameplay at the end.
Yeah.
And oh my word, you want to see the YouTube comments. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I did see people who were getting a little bit hurt.
there were some serious like butthurt comments going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, I will say the start of a trailer does paint it in a very different light to the gameplay show. I think the initial trailer, I was getting more survival horror vibes. To continue the trend of this summer of announcements, another sci-fi
like
horror.
Alien Isolation,
another game that's like that, or it's like Dead Space, you know,
or Dead Space, that's another one.
Or Dead Space, it's sci-fi survival horror has become of a flavor, which once again, definitely, I'm not mad at, because I love the games. I think it's overdue survival horror sci-fi games. But I was thinking this is Alien are doing another, we're doing another game like that. But after you kind of watch the trailer, you watch the guy talking, like you said, Zach, you're like, okay, yeah, so you're definitely taking this towards a Dead Space route, right? Definitely Dead Space. And then the gameplay hits you and you're like, oh, it's different. It's very different.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this coming.
It was hilarious, right? The amount of people that they were just like, oh man, I was so hyped for the game. And then I saw the 10 seconds of gameplay. It was a turn off. I was like, oh.
To be fair, I think if it is like the Alienation game, so it is like a twin stick shooter, I think it will probably attract more people if it's RTS anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
Because obviously that's a lot more of an accessible game format than RTS is. I reckon if it is actually a twin stick and fairly good twin stick is that, there might be a decent place for it, really. Because I mean, I can't really think of many new twin stick shooter games.
No, I can't, to be honest. I think Halo franchise did a couple of them a little while back.
Yeah, so I feel like this is maybe, I think there's a place for sure.
Yeah, I just with the Aliens franchise, and it seems like with the Predator franchise as well, they just seem to be kind of they're just shooting all over at the moment. I think they're just trying a lot of different things and hoping something will stick.
Oh, I'll tell you what, side story really quickly. Yeah, did y'all see their new Predator film trailer?
Oh, the Prey one,
the one that's going to be HBO. No. Max type thingy is not going to be a film.
I'm not about that, Chief.
It's actually going to be, or is it maybe even Disney Plus? Actually, I think it's going to be Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'm not about it at all.
I didn't rate it.
I don't see, because obviously the human is going to have to win at the end of this, the end of the fight, right?
Yeah.
I can't see how a tribal human is going to be able to take down.
I do sort of dig the setting a little bit. I think it's kind of cool. You got like Native American type deal, ain't you?
It's a nice concept,
interesting concept, but
I just like, you know, when you've got there has to be some way of the human legitimately winning, right? And again, they're going to probably lean into, oh yeah, but they covered themselves in mud and therefore the Predator's vision is used or blah blah.
Yeah, I needed it earlier.
I'm tired of that reused thing, right? This is why, and we'll go off track a little bit here, and we'll talk Predator for a short while. But this is why I like Predator 2. It's a very like controversial opinion for a lot of people. Some people just don't like Predator 2 at all.
Mm.
Predator 2 was good because it was different.
Yeah,
and it did it different and it did it well. They didn't have to tap into, oh yeah, but you can use mud to hide your signature and blah blah. It's mentioned briefly.
Yeah.
And it's why the some of the government agents are wearing those the space suits to kind of like hide their body heat, right? But it's in a different setting, and the Predator is defeated in a different way. With Predators, you know, the one with Adrian Brody, they basically just redid the first film, but just added more Predators in. Yeah.
But you do get you get Crazy Larry Fishburne in that film, don't you?
Crazy Larry Fishburne is worth it
for that film.
It's worth it, 100%. Because that film is actually good. I think.
I don't think Predators is too bad. I mean, I still think it's a little bit on edge, but it's not gone full crazy yet.
Yeah,
right.
With that one, I think they try and redo too much from the first film, and also Adrian Brody is not a believable action hero.
No,
they could have cast, I think, somebody else for that role, an 80s action hero kind of esque character. That would have been, or they could have had him, you know, maybe as a different role, so not as a hard nosed mercenary. Maybe they could have had him, you know, it could have been anything, right? But
yeah.
The role that they had him for, I don't think worked. And he's kind of outshined by a lot of the other characters, especially the Yakuza guy. Damn.
It was cool as fuck.
That fight at the end with the Predator when he's got the katana.
I mean, you're going to take the Predator on in like a 1v1 with katana? That's baller as fuck.
That man's the hero of the group.
That's baller as fuck.
I agree.
Yeah,
Aliens and Predator franchise both are getting tired now. They're running out of ideas with the films, running out of ideas with the games, and I think it's a shame. It's a real shame.
I mean,
they are trying. They're trying to do different things. I kind of appreciate.
Alien is still obviously remained relevant, I guess, from a gaming standpoint, right? But
only because of Isolation, right?
Well, as we've been playing it recently, actually, I think Fireteam Elite has been quite fun, actually, as well.
Fireteam Elite is definitely good, right?
I think it's got a little summon. I can't put my finger on it, but it is quite a good laugh, quite a good romp.
And I think a lot of that is just down to the fact that you can play it with people.
Yeah, yeah. But I do quite like the aliens and how the aliens respond.
Solo. Play that game solo.
I also kind of think that's the same way of, you know, sort of Left 4 Dead as well. I love Left 4 Dead, but I love Left 4 Dead more playing it with friends.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And to be honest, I can't really think of many times I have played Left 4 Dead solo, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Has been done.
I could probably count on one hand. Yeah.
Has been done, but like way more times with friends, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I think maybe if that's what they're going to tap into with this Dark Descent game, if they're going to tap into if it is like dual stick shooter, if you can play it with friends, that will make a big difference.
Massive.
If they're going down the more kind of strategy route, then okay, like that might be a bit more difficult to implement.
But an interesting development.
You can still do co-op with strategy games. It's been done before in games like Command and Conquer Red Alert 3. There was a co-op campaign. You could play the entire campaign in co-op.
Yeah.
So there's options there available to them. They've, you know, it just feels like they are clutching at straws a little bit in the nicest possible way.
I mean, like I said, I still think they're definitely doing something. Like the Predator has been on its knees for a while now, right?
Yeah. The last Predator game that we had was the Hunting Grounds one, right? Which was...
Yeah. And that also kind of fell a little bit, didn't it, flat?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And, you know, there was a decent level of investment in terms of, like, different Predators that you could play and stuff.
Most definitely, yeah. And to be honest, he's actually still kind of being supported today with, alive, with skins, yeah, and stuff like
he's
that.
Still alive.
I was tempted to pick it up when it was on sale last time, but I didn't. Who knows? If it's on sale again decently for the Steam sale, I might partake. I don't know, really.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I just... For such a beloved... For two very beloved franchises, and the fact that they've had so many crossovers and they've been so successful with the comic books, and there have been really successful games before, you know, like the original Aliens versus Predator games.
Also, shout out the comics. Shout out the comics. Marvel are actually doing a new Predator series next month.
Yes, they are. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting to see that they've wrangled control from Dark Horse.
Yeah, they've taken it back because it seems like way back in the day, Marvel did do a run on Predator before.
Yeah.
But now they've, for the longest time ever, it's been Dark Horse. Interesting to see them take it back.
Me personally, I think as a kind of a final point, I think in terms of actual films, series, whatever, right? I think that Predator and maybe even Aliens as well could really benefit from maybe something a little bit like, you know, like with the kind of the animation style that they did the What If series for Marvel.
That could be kind of cool. Yeah, I could see that. I like the Star Wars Visions one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I think that they don't have any restrictions with the fact that it's a person in a costume, right? So they can get the actual natural fluid movements out of the Predators.
Yeah.
Without it seeming kind of clunky or having to cleverly cut the cameras and you know, the angles of the shots and so on and so forth. They can really go all out and just show how impressive both species are.
I dig that, yeah, completely. A really, really big AVP game would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. Like AVP is a great concept. Like they've had games before. I think the more recent one, I think that was like 2010 or whatever. That one wasn't as well received as the originals were.
The Rebellion one, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still really good. I really like that game.
Yeah, we've had some good times playing that game.
Exactly. So it's just one of those things. It needs the love and attention, but
most definitely.
It's got to be focused. It can't just be kind of random and sporadic and like, oh yeah, let's try this type of game and hope it works, right?
Exactly, yeah. I will say, closing argument on the Predator franchise and all that jazz, we are definitely going to, I keep saying this, but we are definitely going to do a solo episode on Concrete Jungle.
Because
that is probably the best Predator game we've made, in my opinion. And it's just a fucking banging game. And I think more people need to know about that game.
I totally agree. And what I think we should probably do, we'll tie it in. So we'll handpick a couple of our favorite kind of Aliens and Predator inspired games and so on and so forth. And we can have a little chat through them.
Because
with the exception of Isolation, because we know it's a great game. So
of course.
We won't talk about that one, but we'll talk about the other ones.
Yeah, it's too well known, right? We want to talk about games like Extinction, stuff like that as well, right? Those games which don't get a lot of attention. And people don't know exist, right? You know, we said this before, but I don't think people know that game existed. I don't think people know like Concrete Jungle really existed because I never see people talk about Concrete Jungle, but it's just a fantastic Predator game, you know?
It is. Yeah.
I think it gets the Predator in such a good spot, right? I don't know. I can't really describe it, but yeah, it just does work, you know?
But it's a sweet spot. It definitely is.
Oh, yeah. It's, and it's also an acquired taste, I think, as well, because that game is a little bit jank in places.
It's fucking hard. Like
it's fucking nails, isn't it?
It is a hard game. Yeah.
I remember getting my ass absolutely kicked on that game. It took me so long when I played it when I was younger, to even get through like the first two stages of that game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. So what I'm going to do is I am going to try and wrangle this back into our focused conversation about the new releases, and we'll get back to those old games in another episode.
Of course.
I think the next game, unless you've got anything else that you want to talk about with the Dark Descent.
No, particularly. I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay, cool. Next on the agenda, I would say then, would be Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Our follow-up to Fallen Order, which is, that was like, I played that game for the first time, obviously, last year.
Yes.
That was like my game of the year last year. I loved that game.
I'm gonna let you down because I'm still playing that game at the moment. I've not finished it yet.
You haven't finished it, have you?
No, I'm still playing it. But I watched the trailer, and to be honest, the trailer inspired me to go back and finish it. So, you know, success there, I guess, right?
So I mean, you know, this just the existence of this game is going to kind of be a little bit of a spoiler for you anyway.
You know, I kind of expected it, right? I'm not too butthurt about it.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I'll try and keep it as spoiler free as possible for your benefit, as to not ruin any of the story for you.
I appreciate that.
But this is obviously going to be a continuation of Cal Kestis' story.
Who is big canon now? Big canon character.
Yeah, exactly.
Proper, fully fledged canon character.
Really happy about that as well, because I enjoyed his journey in the first game, and I'm really super keen to see where it's going to go from here. And how it's going to tie in again with the greater canon. We've just seen obviously the end of Kenobi as well, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Also, hold on that, because I've not seen the last episode.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you gotta go watch that.
I'm planning on watching it later tonight. I'm gonna watch.
Thing to say.
Hold on that as well. Hold.
Yeah. So it's really, 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 really great. And there's, I mean, we've seen little tidbits, and there's even a sort of reference to the Star Wars Jedi stuff in Book of Boba, because we saw that, didn't we? BD9, you know,
BD9.
So there's definitely potential there, you know. The character shares the likeness.
You can also get his lightsaber as well from Disneyland.
Yeah. So
he's in the lineup with like the rest of the Sith Jedi lightsabers you can get from the lightsaber place.
So the fact
that you can get his lightsaber from Disneyland, I mean, if that's not, you know, canon, I don't know what is at that point, right? I don't know what
to say.
You know, although I will say rather weirdly that the part of the Disney park that the Disneyland is set in, you know, the Galaxy's Edge place, that is apparently canon as well. So I don't know. Like, the area is like canon.
Nice.
So I don't know how deep that goes, if Disney have like self-inserted themselves in the Star Wars universe. But the Galaxy's Edge, it functions as a canon part of the Star Wars universe. But in our unit, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
You know what I'd really like to see, right? If Disney have just unceremoniously inserted themselves into the universe like that.
I mean,
what I would really love is that for there to be a Star Tours reference. And if you've been to Disneyland, Florida, Disney World, and you've been on Star Tours, then obviously you know. If you don't, then look it up. It's
Star Tours, big ride.
Star Tours is great, right?
I love Star Tours, and I went.
Yeah, it's a simulation ride, but it would be really cool if we had a little. I think. If I'm not mistaken,
yes.
Is that, you know, the droid that drives the Star Tours bus?
Yes.
Has that popped up anywhere before? Because I feel like it has.
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, really, right? Because there's so many fucking droids in Star Wars now, and it's also so easy for them to just insert a droid in. I'd be surprised if it hadn't made a reference somewhere, or you know, sort of a reference. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I'd love to see me a. A Star Tours reference, that'd be great.
100%.
The trailer is very, very cryptic. There's a lot of mystery surrounding
big story elements, isn't it, as well? Because I obviously didn't understand like half of the trailer for obvious reasons.
I've completed the game and I didn't understand half of it as well. So you're not on your own there. That's not a new thing. That's
a bit better now, then.
It's very, very cryptic. And I've watched a lot of videos on YouTube as well about like theories and so on and so forth, and nobody's really got an idea about some of the elements of it, especially the guy that's in the Bacta tank. He looks like some kind of like anime Final Fantasy character bit, with the white hair and stuff.
But
what I found kind of interesting was the in the trailer you get a shot with the Mantis, the ship, and it's all kind of empty and it looks a little bit kind of beat up. And I'm kind of like, kind of coupled with the title of Survivor, I'm like, this kind of shows some serious foreboding to the fate, to the potential fate of the crew of the Mantis.
A little bit dark.
Yeah, so I'm concerned, because I'm like, oh, I like the characters in this. I don't want anybody to die.
You're a little bit like,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was definitely, so there's also in the trailer, there's a character, obviously must hail from Utapau, and I thought it was the Grand Inquisitor to begin with, but one of the theory videos that I was watching, they seem to think that it was like a senator.
Okay.
Because there was like, so I think there was some subtitles or something like that to do with the with the trailer, and it comes up with like senator or something like that. So while he kind of looks like the Grand Inquisitor, it might not necessarily be him.
Yeah.
And he says in the trailer,
he gets around the Grand Inquisitor.
What is your next move, Jedi?
Yeah.
So kind of interesting there, because in that part of the trailer where you see him, he's got a box and it's got Cal's lightsaber in it. So there very well could be a segment of the game where, you know, you're without a lightsaber.
Dun dun dun.
So because there's like a duel, and there's also a kind of a theory as well that the guy in the tank is the Sith that Cal is fighting in the trailer, because they both got one arm.
Oh, okay.
So the guy in the back of the tank has one arm, and then if you look back at the trailer, the guy who or the person that Cal is fighting also only has one arm, or is fighting with one arm.
Okay.
So,
okay, that's an interesting little dissection there.
Yeah. So there's a couple of little bits to kind of pull apart there from the trailer, but it remains incredibly cryptic, and like I don't know where to. I can't wait. Like, it's going to be brilliant.
I mean, like I said, I've been loving the first one. I've really been enjoying it. Like I said, I think on the last episode or the episode before that, it is sort of like baby's first Souls game.
Definitely.
But I like it. I like the inclusion of Souls elements, but only a few kind of mechanics that make Souls. And also, obviously, it's just fucking Star Wars through and through, right? So what more do you want, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, this is a dream come true for me, right? Being able to, to just wade through a sea of scout troopers with stun rods while I'm waving my double-ended lightsaber.
I mean, that was the peak moment for me when I got it, right? Because I was like, holy shit, dude, you get double-ended lightsaber as well? This is going places.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Like, I was already pretty like, this is fucking sick. But then I was like, yo, dude, this is fucking lit. Like, double-ended lightsaber, this is the shit right here, man.
Yeah, my man, like, I can't wait for you to play the finale of that game.
So I'm looking forward to it, dude.
And let me know what you think. Because, 100%. Wow.
Yeah. You will be 100% informed, man, when I want to make a proof out for sure. I need to get back into it because I haven't played it for like a good week, and a week or 2 weeks now. So I need to sit down, have a bit more time with it, get through it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah. Stay dedicated to it, and it won't disappoint you. I promise you that. Have you got anything, any kind of notes or anything to add with regards to Survivor?
I mean, not too much, obviously. It was hard for me to kind of take a lot of notes about it because I didn't want to spoil myself inadvertently. So even though I watched it and didn't really get it anyway, and obviously my kind of understanding of it is going to be very narrow as compared to yours.
Yeah.
Now you have the full picture of the game, but I mean, I could just, I'm just excited for it. But like I said, it was that good. I was like, I moved Fallen Order back to my top of my, I need to playlist, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, really, really looking forward to that then. And again, like I said, you've got to let me know what you think, because I love it, mate. we'll move swiftly on then. What we're going to move into now is the Devolver Indie titles. So this one was like its own little expo, which was really cool. It was his own little showcase.
Yeah.
So we had a series of, I think it was about half a dozen indie titles that are published by Devolver.
So Devolver, I don't really know. Like, we spoke about Devolver a little bit at the start of this episode. I don't know if we've really covered Devolver much in our other episodes either, to be fair. We've obviously spoke about some of their games before, right? But not...
Yeah.
I don't know how deep we've gone down the hole, have we?
Yeah, no, we definitely haven't gone all the way yet.
No. But Devolver is just a really, really good publisher, basically. They have an interesting kind of style, interesting kind of shtick. Like I said earlier, they are, I think, the closest thing you can get to like rock stars in the gaming universe. Because they're very, you know, Devil May Care. They kind of do what they want, really. And they have very much a vibe with the games they publish.
They've got a nose for a good game, you know. That's one thing I can definitely say. Like you were saying earlier, you've never played a bad Devolver title.
Honestly, dude, I've never played a bad Devolver title. Every single one I've played, they've just been so fucking good. I can name so many games, dude. So many games. Like, you've got Hotline Miami, the second Hotline Miami as well. Gods Will Be Watching, fantastic game. Broforce, fantastic game. Enter the Gungeon, fantastic game. Stories Untold, fantastic game. Mother Russia Bleeds, fantastic game. Honestly, I could go on. Ruiner, fantastic game. I could literally go on it all. They also were the guys that are responsible for bringing Serious Sam back as well. So if you like the Serious Sam games, you can thank them all for that, because they brought him back.
Yeah, the OG Serious Sam games are brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Weedcraft Inc., fantastic game as well. Katana Zero, banging game.
Yeah, I could go on. Well-travelled. You're well-travelled with the Devolver titles.
I could go on and on, man. They are a fantastic company. Like I said, they very much don't care. They very much kind of do what they want to do. And they're very known for kind of doing weird announcements as well. Like a few years ago, when kind of E3 went kind of digital and stuff like that, they decided to make like an actual digital E3 in that you could download a game on Steam and play it, and it acted as a virtual, like, expo hall, and you could watch the trailers for the games in that, and you could find little secrets as well, which is kind of funny,
yeah,
hidden
great.
Amongst it. They did another one, I'm pretty sure it was them anyway, where they didn't do, show off at the actual in-live expo, because, you know, people were complaining about the expo because obviously it costs a lot of money. It's become very kind of commercialized as well, not really kind of industry friendly. So what they did was they made their own expo in the car park across the road from it. People could go to the car park and look at the games. Right, like I said, they kind of do what they want, and I love it. I love them for it.
Yeah, that's a kind of a crispy wonton attitude that we love, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And the games they publish, you know, they have some fantastic developers they work with, mostly indie titles as well, because Devolver literally, most of them are just indie games, really, with the exception of a Serious Sam, which has a bit of a pedigree, but a lot of them are just indie stuff. And it's awesome to see.
Yeah,
they've got such an eye for these titles.
I've got to say, the this kind of like announcement expo, it was just excellent. Like, because they had an actual kind of filmed. They had actors actually playing out like the roles of like marketing executives and scientists and stuff. And they were talking about like, oh man, like we don't give a shit about the content. Let's just have a really flashy countdown. And
yeah.
It was honestly, it was littered with satire, and it was just totally bonkers. It was like watching an episode of Monty Python, mate. It was excellent.
Yeah. It literally is like a thingy. It's just, it's so, like I said, it's so good, right? They literally do. They just have this such like devil may care attitude, rock star attitude. And oh man, the games they showed off, I'm looking forward to quite a lot of them, actually. I think all of them look pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, first off, we had Cult of the Lamb.
Mm.
That was set to release on the 11th of August.
Yeah, it's coming out in August, so not too long to wait for this one.
Yeah.
Played the demo, actually. Mm.
Mm. Did you like it, did you?
I loved it, mate. I've been following this game for a while, actually. If you like your roguelikes, you're going to love this kind of game.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's a good mix, actually. So I think so basically The Binding of Isaac, yeah, that is, I think, probably the best roguelike ever made, ever.
Yeah.
And I hold that game as like the candle and the standard
right.
For any roguelike game I play, yeah. It has to hit the certain requirements that Isaac hit for me, or I just won't like it. And this game, I played the demo, I was impressed because it's got gameplay and sort of the roguelike element, similar to Isaac's, where you go out, you do things, but it's got a actual progression system, more like Loop Heroes.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting in that you go out, you find resources, you find followers for your cult, you bring them back, and then you work on your kind of cult base with your followers when you're not out adventuring. So it's sort of like Loop Hero, you know, the town in Loop Hero?
Yes, yeah.
Basically that, but with, you know, cute little satanic creatures.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like you said cute there, like I put that in my notes as well. The characters look super cute and stylish.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, they almost kind of reminded me a little bit of you know that cartoon Gumball, yeah?
Yep, Gumball.
Cartoon Network. The characters almost kind of reminded me of those a little bit.
Yeah, completely, right.
And like when I was watching the gameplay, like the way they were running around the landscape and stuff like that, and there was like farms and stuff like that, it kind of reminded me of Don't Starve as well.
Yeah, it's got a Don't Starve vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's just so adorable and cute, and the lamb's a great character as well. Like, I love the lamb.
The animations are really clean as well. They really like pop, you know. It's really, it looks really energetic, it looks really fun.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you'd expect, and it's quirky enough to be a Devolver published title, right?
It has a very good art style, it has a very good soundtrack, and also the way the characters speak in it is very interesting as well. So you don't really see it in the trailer, but if you play the demo, which is free, by the way, on Steam, so definitely check it out. All the characters have different ways of speaking, and they usually sound like kind of congealed and kind of mishmash sounds when they speak.
Oh, okay. A little bit like Animal Crossing.
A little bit, yeah, but more kind of demonic-y, you know?
Yeah.
And each one has like a different tone, different pitch. But basically the initial kind of storyline for this game, if there is a storyline, is that you are a lamb, basically. And you are part of a prophecy that exists. And these three kind of ancient great ones, their followers have taken you and they've killed you and they've sacrificed you basically to prevent the coming of something. Mm. And just before you die, you're brought before this other kind of god, this other god that's presumably the other gods have been trying to get rid of, basically. And in exchange for him saving your soul, he sends you back, basically, to venerate his name and make a cult based around his coming.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah, that definitely sounds like it would be fun, definitely a fun game to play.
But with cutesy kind of demonic.
Yeah, there's such elements. A juxtaposition there, isn't there, right?
I love it. It's sort of like Happy Tree Friends, sort of like the Christmas Critters from South Park, the Satanic Christmas Critters. Those as well. Honestly, this game is fun. I had so much fun with the demo. I can't wait for it to come out in August. It's going to be an insta-buy for me for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, it's definitely piqued my interest. I should be putting that one on my wish list as well.
100%, man.
So next up, Angerfoot. Now, this one was wild. It's like wild. So this is a real kind of high-octane action game
set in a
cartoony world. Oh, man, there's this one bit where it just looks like your character, you're just shooting your way through a crack den. The color palette for the game is just, oh man, it's caustic for my eyes. Like,
and it's all about just kicking open doors and just killing people inside the room.
It is, yeah. Like, it's an absolute acid trip. There's like heavy club music in the trailer.
Yeah.
You're kicking enemies and objects away like a la Bulletstorm style. Mm-hmm. Just shooting the place up, shooting explosive barrels, blowing buildings up. It just looks absolutely manic.
Once again, a fucking Devolver game through and through, right?
Yeah,
a Devolver published game through and through.
It's the fact that you can actually like kick the door open and like squish people up against the wall with it and stuff. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely stupid. Like, the end of the trailer just has a solid 10 seconds, of just people dancing to heavy club music with no context.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing even on the screen.
Oh, man.
So I don't really know what's going on with this one, but I mean, I fucking love the style. I love the style completely. Like, it looks fucking funny.
It does look funny, yeah. I think for a modest price, that would be worth a look.
Definitely, 100%, yeah. And sadly, no release date on this one other than 2023, right?
Yeah, so your guess is as good as mine, my guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely liked the look of that one. That looked suitably crazy, and it looked like it would be a good bit of fun. You know,
kind
of like simple carnage, just like Doom. After that, then we've got Card Shark.
Yes,
which I thought was kind of an interesting one as well.
So this is one that is already out. It isn't actually, it came out like a few weeks ago. It's kind of good. I actually kind of like the kind of concept of it, because it's something a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, the kind of the gameplay loop looks very much like it was play gambling games and duel with people.
Yeah,
and I don't mean duel like in Yu-Gi-Oh! I mean actually with a rapier or with a flintlock pistol. Mm. It was kind of a little bit like when you play Red Dead Redemption and you've got the gambling mini games, and then like if somebody catches you cheating, they challenge you to a duel. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
But that is the game this time around, right? Like, you learn and
that's
you
the
try.
Whole game. Yeah,
like you try to learn more kind of ways to cheat, more inventive ways to cheat. And actually, not going to lie, but actually real life ways to cheat as well. The game actually does teach you real world card techniques.
Yeah,
that's which is kind of interesting.
Cool. So you're almost like you're getting like a on the sly education.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit of a kind of hustler education, really, in kind of card games. And
not sure if we should really promote that. Actually, it could get
it is a little bit dodgy,
a little bit risque.
Do it with Monopoly money. You play for Monopoly money, it's fine.
Yeah, like, never swindle your mates out of it, and please don't try it in a casino, because you'll get thrown out, beaten up, buried in the desert somewhere, something like
watch
that. Right?
The hit film 21, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That'll put you off of cheating forever.
You'll get beaten up by the casino bosses if you start counting cards.
There's not really much else to say to that other than it's kind of set in like a period drama kind of like era, isn't it? Yeah,
it's like Shakespeare. Kind of Elizabethan, isn't it? Kind of
a little bit with like the ruffles and stuff like that. It's very very stylized. You had that kind of definitely got that kind of feel straight off the bat, right?
Yeah,
it was set in a bygone era. And yeah, I think it'll be a bit cheeky. There may even be some role playing elements to it, right? Depending on.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, so other than that, we've the last one. Oh, no, actually, there's two more. The next one is the Plucky Squire.
Yeah, we talked about Plucky Squire.
Which looked kind of interesting to me, actually. I thought that was kind of interesting. So
it was my least favourite of the selection.
Yeah.
But I do love the art style.
The art style is really good. And I love the way that it transitions from kind of like 2D landscapes into 3D as well.
Yeah.
So the kind of, from what I've surmised from it, that the main character is like a children's book character.
Yeah.
And he kind of like helps people out. His sword is like a pen. Yeah. So it's kind of like a play on the pen is mightier than the sword kind of saying.
It kind of transitions, doesn't it, between like 2D and 3D planes.
Yeah, so you like you jump out of the book and then you're like running around in like a bedroom, yeah, and then you like jump onto the surfaces of other things like coffee mugs and stuff like that, and then you're playing out adventures on there. It seems really quirky, and I kind of like I really like the concept.
The art style's interesting for sure. It has caught my attention. Like I said, I don't know. I something about the others resonated with me a little bit more, but I do totally see this as a game that I could dismiss at first and end up really liking.
Yeah. Like, I think this is one of those games that you'd play and it would win you over.
Especially because it is, you know, it is a Devolver published game again. So I can't count it out, you know.
Yeah.
I cannot count it out, because if I did that, I wouldn't have played such amazing Devolver games, you know. So it is 100% on the radar. It's 100% on the radar. I can't deny, you know.
Yeah. So I don't really have much else to add about that one other than that I really like this style. Yeah.
It's like Adventure Time.
It feels like it would be a very wholesome, like, kids' adventure, but, you know, anybody can enjoy it. You don't have to be a kid.
Yeah, 100%.
And then finally, I think this last one is probably the one that didn't resonate with me the most, and it was the Skate Story one.
Yeah.
And this one kind of looks, it looks okay, but it kind of, I don't know, like an abstract Tony Hawk's skating game.
I mean, the concept is you are playing as a demon that is made out of stained glass, and you're skateboarding.
Yeah, like, I mean, that really speaks for itself, doesn't it?
So there you go, right? I mean, you're a demon made out of stained glass. You're skateboarding through the underworld. That is the tagline for it.
Yeah, and all of the characters, they look like they're made out of, I don't know. You know, like the, what was that camera technique, you know, where you, with a slow shutter speed and
you've got
the lights that look like they're...
Oh, like light painting, yeah.
Light painting, yeah. It looks like all the characters look like that, don't they? They're kind of like almost neon-ish.
Yeah,
but it's only like the outlines, and it's all like that kind of light.
I mean, I watched it, and for starters, the music, by the way, incredible. By a group called Blood Cultures. They sound fantastic. Really, really nice kind of indie kind of vibe, indie sound. I just love this one because it's just really weird. You know, I've said this before, right? It's no secret by now. The weirder, the trippier, the more I'm probably going to be interested in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it just seems really, really funny and out there, you know?
Yeah, but I think overall, like the titles that Devolver showed off here, really, really good showing, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think there's a game there for everybody.
Yeah, which is what I say, right? I don't think that anyone can afford to really kind of, anyone who's really into their games, especially their indie games, you can't sleep on Devolver at all, right? Because they just publish so many games that, like you said, Zach, literally there's something for everyone in their library.
Yeah, which I think is very, very important. It's important to have that kind of like diversity within the content that you're creating, right? Because if you don't, you're only ever going to attract one corner of the market. So it is super important that you appeal to everybody and you make lots of different games that have that, you know, that give off those different appeals, you know?
Whether that be demonic lambs or skateboarding demons.
Exactly. That's it. I mean, I feel like we're leaning quite heavily into the demonic side with those suggestions. But
I mean, or cutesy 2D, 3D platformers or FPS games that involve you kicking in doors.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, whatever you really want, to be honest. You know, you want to shoot up a crack den, or you want to join a cult. You know, that's fine. Devolver's got you covered. So yeah, I really, really good showing. I think I've got one more thing on the list
to
discuss. And I think we've saved the weirdest and wackiest to last,
which is hard to say.
That's really saying something, right? Yeah, because we've covered some crazy ones.
Considering we've said some crazy shit here, you know, we've had skateboarding demons, little demonic lambs, and we've had H.R. Geiger hellscapes.
Yeah, but we've got now High on Life.
High on Life
is the this is the mad gaming brainchild of Justin Roiland, who obviously made Rick and Morty. Oh man, like this looks wild. It looks so funny. It's made by Squanch Games. Is that Justin Roiland's own?
It is his own game studio. Yes.
Yeah.
They've been doing a series. They're well known for doing a VR series, which I think is called Trevor Saves the World or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to double check that, but they are. Trevor, something like that, Saves the Universe. And it's like a VR game, basically. And that was something, one of the first games they made and got really kind of popular with. They also did another game, I'm pretty sure, called Accounting, which was their first game. And it was like a really stupid, like, accounting game, but it actually had like a load of layers kind of hidden underneath it of like meta games and stuff like that you didn't see coming, really.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they're all very much like Rick and Morty episodes, basically. So they all have very weird, very weird things, very weird taglines. The characters are all fucking strange. It's all very, very weird. And ironically, after making a lot of VR games, he's now turning his hand to this game, High on Life, which is basically an FPS game.
Yeah. It's like Doom, isn't it? Yeah.
He's like running Doom, around. Yeah.
Fucking blowing people apart, but it's weird because all of the weapons are like aliens, so they're like little aliens, but they all have their own personalities.
They all speak. They all kind of talk to you, chat to you
including
when you're playing
the knife,
yeah,
which was my favorite one. I love that. That was just what I wasn't expecting.
That was my favorite bit of the trailer, actually, because the music kind of stops and slows down, and he pulls the knife up slowly.
Yeah.
And the knife starts speaking. He's like, "I'm knifey," and then it jump cuts to him just slitting this dude's throat open and just stabbing him repeatedly. This alien bug.
Yeah. He's like, "I gotta stab."
Yeah, I gotta stab. It is literally. I feel like the best way to describe this is Rick and Morty meets Doom.
Yeah, do you know that's a really good way of putting it? To be honest,
because the gameplay is very similar.
What I got to talk about as well is the environment. Like, oh man, the colors are so juicy, you know, like everything's so vibrant and colorful. And it's like we were saying earlier on, there's that kind of like juxtaposition. It seems like it's quite a friendly atmosphere. And then you've got the gameplay comes in and you're like, oh, this is not what we were expecting.
It's just kind of wild. Like, if you like Justin Roiland stuff, if you like Rick and Morty and that, yeah, I mean, what are you waiting for? This looks perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is one I'll be keeping my eye on because it just seems so bonkers, and I just think feel like I'm gonna have a good time playing this.
I don't know if there was a release date, was there?
I didn't see one. No,
no. But it is worth noting, it is going to be a day one Game Pass game. So I will say, quite a few games we've covered both in this episode and the last episode are actually going to be Game Pass day one games. So. I'm not going to lie, the Game Pass is looking even more tasty than it was before.
It is,
And also, that's not just for Xbox, you know. Disclaimer, if you are on PC, you can access most of the Game Pass games on PC as well. So,
yeah, which I feel is actually a little bit of a little bit of kind of almost hidden knowledge. It's like they don't really advertise that, do they?
No, not particularly, because it's like, yeah, it's on Xbox, and Xbox is the brand, but Xbox has like a PC division as well, which is ironically also called Xbox, but it's not Xbox like you know it, basically.
But it's not Microsoft Games for Windows.
No. It is actually its own beast. The Xbox app is its own thing on Windows now. And it is not as bad as the Xbox Marketplace, Microsoft Marketplace used to be. This is actually its own thing, and it does work fairly well.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch, a whole host of stuff to look forward to. I mean, we keep repeating ourselves.
This game just looks so stupid, I can't.
It does.
I love it.
It's so daft.
Ironically, as well, I'm going to shout out to one of my favorite game series of all time. That's the Oddworld game series. And this game does remind me a lot of Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, which is the fourth Oddworld game in the OG kind of series, even though it's not part of the OG series, but the fourth game anyway to carry the Oddworld title. And that kind of saw you playing as a bounty hunter called Stranger. and he had a crossbow which shot live ammo. And you got different live ammo in the game, and the live ammo had its own kind of personality, its own kind of feelings, and some of them did talk as well. So it kind of feels like they've almost taken that very old Oddworld game and kind of infused bits into it here, which is quite
tapped
nice.
Tapped into it for sure.
Yeah. Because that is a very obscure title if you don't know the Oddworld series. But this game does remind me of that quite a lot.
I also had... I'm picking up a little bit of like Rogue Trooper there as well, 2080s Rogue Trooper.
Yes,
because obviously
definitely.
He's got all of the implants, right, that will talk to him.
Yeah.
So it was almost kind of reminding me of that a little bit as well, how every weapon had its own personality, very much in the same way that all of the different kind of like almost like attachments that Rogue gets kind of speak to him as well, right? So
like you said, it's just weird, right, because they're all aliens and they're all alive, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's another one of those games that I feel, or trailers that I feel like you just need to watch just to witness it, because we're just never going to do a good enough job to explain it.
yeah, literally.
It's wild.
Yeah, I can't really just, I mean, to be fair, this is the weird episode. I feel like a lot of the trailers we can't really describe very well here, right? Because a lot of them are weird, really, really weird, really, really out there. Definitely check them out. Definitely check all of them out. You know, you can find most of them on YouTube now. Some of them even have demos, like Dawn of Cult of the Lamb. So
yeah,
check them out, honestly.
Did you, were you aware that Oddworld Soulstorm had come out as well?
Yes, I was. I've already played it. I bought it on Epic when it came out.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. It came out on Epic. It was either the start of this year or the end of last year. I cannot remember.
Oh, okay. I'm way behind that. I just noticed that it had popped up on Steam over the last couple
of
days.
Yes, no, it has got its Steam release like 2 days ago. But I did play it back when it was on Epic. It was a little bit broken when it first came out, so I never finished it. I waited until it was a little bit more fixed. It is more fixed now, so I'm probably going to go back to it. But I was really enjoying it back in the day. I was really enjoying it when I was playing it when it first came out, for sure.
Excellent, yeah. Because I saw that straight away, and I was like, I know a man that would enjoy that.
Oh, 100%. That was on my radar a while ago. that is just a Steam release. They had like an exclusivity deal with Epic, basically, on PC. And it came out on console as well, but for PC, it was purely on Epic only. It's finally launched on Steam, so I think...
That happens a lot these days, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. There's a lot of exclusivity deals on Epic. It's part of their kind of strategy to, you know, create their kind of game platform. Which I kind of hate too much, because I've actually got some quite good games on Epic for free, so I can't complain. In fact, just last week, I got Maneater for free on Epic. Have you seen that game before?
That's the shark one,
It's the
right?
shark game, yeah.
Yeah.
I was playing it last weekend, mate. It's funny as fuck. I mean, it's simply, you're a shark, go do shark things. But
it's not just shark things. It's also like tear boats apart.
Oh yeah, you can do some madness in that game. Like you can also
torpedo yourself into an aeroplane.
You can also make your shark look crazy as well, like aliens. Like my shark's got like bioelectric teeth on my one currently. She's got like electric teeth, and like it's the best thing to just pick up a human in your mouth, yeah, pull them back, and just tail slap them like meters out of the water. It's so fucking funny to see him go flying, mate. You can just fucking skadoosh these humans miles away. As a shark, it's so funny. And it's like, damn, if you saw that in real life, yeah, you would shit yourself. Like, you can just get on a beach and just start chomping someone on the beach, man. You imagine if you're sat on a beach, yeah, shark comes onto the beach, just starts eating someone in front of you.
Land shark, mate.
That would fuck you up forever. That would be horrifying to witness in real life. It's a funny game, though. It's a funny, funny game. It might actually be on sale, to be fair, on the Steam sale now.
Excellent. Yeah, so I don't know if you've not got anything else.
No, I think this kind of about does it really for the summer of announcements so far. Anyway, I mean, as always, we're going to continue newsreel on. You know, whenever there's been some substantial stuff, so like we're definitely going to be here to cover anything else that, you know, comes of it. And also all the games we covered, we're probably going to play when they come out. So expect more of that later.
Yeah, definitely. I just that's it. We can't say it's over, because that's it. Summer's still here and there's still plenty of time for announcements.
Summer's just beginning.
We'll be keeping our ear to the ground, and who knows, you may have a part three sooner than you realise.
You never know.
But until then, thank you very much for listening, as always. I hope that you enjoyed, and we will see you next time.
Take care, everyone, and stay safe.
Thanks, bye.